A very good morning to you all this morning, and a very warm welcome to you also. For you have joined this live stream service on the 24th of January from All Saints Church, Fordham and 8 Ash Green. My name is Nicholas Durlacher. I'm church warden, one of two here, and it is my privilege to be leading the service today. Francis Blight, our rector, will be opening up the first of a series of sermons in the Book of Ruth later in this service. You and I expect were thinking that we would be seeing Francis in the lectern giving this opening talk on Ruth, but he rang me early this morning to say he'd had a night when he'd been coughing, and he has taken the precaution of booking a COVID test this afternoon and isolating with his family this morning. So when we come to the sermon, he's recorded it, and Julian will be streaming it to you as part of the service, but you won't see him visually, so to speak, in person. I'm going to be joined by Mary, my wife, who will be leading in the intercessions, and David, our son, who will be giving us the readings this morning. The other person present in the church today is Julian, and it is his skills that enable us to live stream this service into your homes this morning. Thank you, Julian, for doing this for us. Well, one reflects, doesn't one, the whole time, that is there some light at the end of the pandemic tunnel, so to speak, because of the progress of the vaccination program? Well, I suppose we would say maybe. Was there some light for Ruth and Naomi, bereaved in a foreign land? Well, we shall see that as Francis unfolds the story over the next 4 weeks. The title he has chosen for the opening sermon series in this Old Testament book, Ruth, is emptiness. And I dare say emptiness is a description that resonates with many of us today. This current lockdown has kept us from so much that we hold dear. The hugs of our family and friendships that enrich our lives, the holidays that recharge our batteries, the meals, the restaurants that we can enjoy, the pubs that we can go to, and freedom to make our plans unencumbered by restrictions, or largely unencumbered by restrictions. The phrase on which the book of Judges begins and the phrase with which it ends, just before the start of this story of Naomi and Ruth, is that everybody did as they saw fit. Perhaps that's something we're a bit constrained about at the moment. We're having to learn the secret of contentment, as our last sermon series in Philippians reminded us. And that begins with thanks for the many blessings that we as Christians have, not least our joy and certainty in the life to come, in the Lord's promised new creation. So let me begin, as we usually do, with a prayer. Dear Lord, as the troubles and trials of this world seem to beset us and are all around us, thank you that you have given us the knowledge of a sure and certain future, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning calls us to come before him now and rejoice, praising God from whom all blessings flow. The words of the hymn are on the service card and should appear on your screen as well. All people that on earth do dwell.
Know that the
We now come to a time of confession. We have just sung that the Lord is good, but we, his sheep, stray and wander from his ways. We do things we should not do, and we fail to do those things that we should do. And as the prayer book says, there is no health in us. So a moment of quiet to examine ourselves, and then I will lead in the confession, the words of which you will find printed on the notice sheet. So the confession. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear Lord, we know that you command us in Holy Scriptures to repent and believe. And with that command comes your promise that those who do repent and believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will stand before you saved. We thank you, Lord, that we can claim this promise for ourselves. Amen. And I invite David to come and give us our first reading this morning from the book of Judges.
The first reading is from Judges chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to 14. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonites, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters to marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherah. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Getting the Ammonites and Amalekites to join him, Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. We will now have our second song this morning. The song is Faithful One. A son that unequivocally affirms that our hope rests on the Lord alone. After that, David will give us our second reading from the book of Ruth, and then we will hear from Francis the sermon that he has recorded for us this morning.
Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend. Call out to
second reading is Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she'd been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Now Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Old Testament Book of Ruth, Chapter 1, Emptiness. The Bible is a big story of God keeping his promises to a man called Abraham. In the midst of this, we encounter the Book of Ruth, a very personal story about an Israelite woman called Naomi and her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth. It's short, just 4 pages long in an English Bible. And we've just heard the first chapter read to us. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore a chapter a week. It's a great story, and I encourage you to enjoy it. Enjoy the details. It's subtle, and close attention and thoughtful study will pay dividends. During the week, growth groups will be meeting online to discuss the book and to pray together. If you'd like to join a growth group for the Ruth series, please contact the church office on Tuesday. The first verse of the book tells us that it's set in the time when the judges ruled Israel. The book of Judges comes directly before Ruth in the Bible. It gives a history of the first period of Israelite history after they arrived in the land that God had promised them. Let me put it into context in God's big history. About 4,000 years ago, God promised a land to Abraham, the Promised Land. Several hundred years later, the Israelite nation that descended from Abraham was enslaved in Egypt. But God freed them under the leadership of Moses. They spent 40 years as nomads living in the wilderness. Then God brings them into the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. After Joshua's death, the time of the judges begins. This period of Israelite history ran for about 400 years. And Ruth's story comes during this period when the judges ruled. The date's about 1,100 years before Christ, so about 3,000 years ago from us today. And it's exciting to be studying such an ancient story. Features in it are different to life today. Some of them will be a bit strange, and I'll explain those as we go along. But other things are remarkably similar. In the time of the judges, there was no king ruling Israel. No king like David or Solomon, who came along later. There was no centralized political structure. From time to time, God, by the power of his spirit, raised up a judge to lead and rescue the Israelites. People like Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, and Gideon. We heard a little about two of them in our first reading from Judges chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Now, when I think of a judge, I tend to think of someone sitting in a courtroom with a wig on. So perhaps leader is a more helpful word. Or we could say military leader or charismatic military leader who enabled the Israelites to rout their oppressors and to regain their freedom. Old Testament history is negative about the time of the judges before the monarchy was established. Under the judges, Abraham's descendants were finally in the Promised Land. It should have been great, a time of blessing. But instead, the book of Judges reads as a catalogue of national disobedience to God's laws over a period of several hundred years. A repeating cycle flows through Judges. The Israelites sin. God brings a foreign nation to oppress and rule over them. For example, from our reading, Judges 3:14, the Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Then the Israelites cry out to God for help. He raises up a judge, a military leader, who rescues them, and their freedom is restored. Then it all happens again, some decades later. The book ends with a truly weird and horrific story, which can appropriately be described as 18 rated. In the midst of this dark period of Israelite national history, we encounter the story of Naomi and Ruth. And as it begins, Naomi's experience mirrors the darkness of the whole nation. It begins as a tragedy. But it ends on a very different note, as a story of blessing and God's provision. We're going to look at the story over four Sundays, each week with a different title. Today is emptiness, next week will be seeking, then finding, and concluding with fullness and legacy. Today's talk is divided into four sections. On page 4 of the notice sheet, there's some space to write notes if you find that helpful. And also there are some blanks to fill in if you'd like to do that. So firstly, Bethlehem's backstory. Verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Bethlehem is mentioned as the story begins. This is an important detail which should make our ears prick up. Think about your knowledge of the big Bible story arc. Which two important people were born in Bethlehem? Have a think. Two important kings, King David, and 1,000 years later, King Jesus. The book of Ruth is an origin story about Bethlehem and King David. It shows the origin of the Israelites' royal line of kings and how it merged from a small seed of faithfulness in one small town. The book of Ruth shows how Bethlehem became famous and important in God's master plan. Today, everybody's heard of Bethlehem. Billions of people around the world remember Bethlehem every Christmas time, just as we did here at our Carols by Starlight service. And over 3,000 years later, Bethlehem still exists. It still exists today, 5 miles south of Jerusalem in Palestine. But back then, Bethlehem was no more important than any other small Israelite town. The opening reference to the family from Bethlehem is important and locates this story in the big picture of God's dealings with his world. The book of Ruth is a backstory to how Bethlehem became famous. Secondly, Naomi's family tragedy. So Elimelech and Naomi move to Moab because of famine in Israel. They go with their 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, a family of 4. The famine locates the story in one of those periods in Judges, in the book of Judges, when God was oppressing Israel because of their unfaithfulness. But moving to Moab was not a good choice for Elimelech. Moab was not a good place for God's people, and this move was not a move of faith and trust in God. God had fulfilled his promise to Abraham by bringing the Israelites into the promised land. But now Elimelech is leaving the promised land. And the Moabites were not the good guys. They were traditionally seen as Israel's enemies. Elimelech's decision to leave Judah for Moab wasn't a choice to trust God. The family left Judah to escape famine, but things only got worse. Elimelech dies in Moab, leaving Naomi as a single mother. Then later, the 2 young men married 2 Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. This too was not good and was against God's word, where the Israelites were taught not to intermarry with the surrounding nations. Later, the family tragedy deepens, with both of Naomi's sons, Mahlon and Chilion, dying. A family of 3 women is now left alone. Naomi is a widow in a foreign country with her 2 Moabite daughters-in-law. The story makes me think of tales from the early European settlers in America, moving across the continent, moving west, seeking a place to live and establishing themselves. Wild West tales. It begins as a bleak tale of hard times. Instead of blessing and abundance, there is the death of 3 breadwinners. And this is why this first talk in the series is called Emptiness. Life has been emptied out for Naomi with the death of her husband and her sons. At this current moment of international pandemic, we can really relate to these themes of bereavement and emptiness. We hear the COVID death toll on the news each day. You may be experiencing emptiness from the death of someone you loved. You may be experiencing emptiness due to the financial difficulties through the economic impact of the lockdown. You may be experiencing emptiness through the isolation caused by the social restrictions. We are in a time of emptiness at the moment. And as we look at the story of Ruth over the next few weeks, I pray that it will bring you hope, comfort, and direction as we examine its themes of loyalty and redemption. The problem of Naomi's personal story is the problem of the nation's story in the time of the Judges. The Israelites had been disobedient to God as a nation. And we see this in Elimelech's personal life choices. God's covenant teaching for the Israelites is in action. Listen to what God said to them about blessing and curse in Deuteronomy 28, and the verses will come up on the screen. If you fully obey the Lord your God, he will set you high above the nations on earth. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, the fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land. You'll be cursed when you come in and when you go out. In the Old Covenant, God's blessing was conditional. Notice the if word, if you obey. The Israelites needed to obey God in order to receive the blessing of his promises. So Naomi's story begins with the dishonouring of God's covenant, at the national level and at the personal family level. What is needed is a proper godly rule over Israel. And the book of Ruth shows how this is going to come about. A glimmer of hope appears. News reaches Naomi in Moab that God has come to the aid of his people in Judah and provided food for them. The famine is over. Naomi prepares to return with Orpah and Ruth, which brings us to our third heading for today: Ruth's loyalty and faith in the Lord. After they set out, Naomi thinks again. What does she have to offer these two young widows? And she determines to send them back to their Moabite people. Verse 9. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. They all weep, and Orpah and Ruth declare that they will go with Naomi to her people in Judah. But Naomi persists. She can't produce new husbands for them. And she states her understanding in verse 13, that the Lord's hand has gone out against me. They weep again, and Orpah kisses Naomi and sets off home. But not Ruth. We're told that Ruth clings to Naomi. Look at your sister-in-law, says Naomi. She's going back to her people and her gods. In this statement, we see Naomi's emptiness and her lack of faith in the God of the Bible. That it would be better for Orpah and Ruth to return to their own false gods. Naomi is lost in the middle of life, bitter and faithless towards God. But Ruth, the Moabite, is quite the opposite. And we hear her make a pledge of allegiance. Allegiance to Naomi, allegiance to Judah, and allegiance to Yahweh, the Lord, the God of Abraham. Have a look at verse 16. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Here we see Ruth's loyalty and love for Naomi. And it's a statement of conversion. Ruth is converting to Naomi's religion, to follow the God that we at All Saints Church follow today. Ruth isn't talking about a generic, general version of God. She specifically names him in verse 17. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. In that verse, the word Lord is in capitals, representing the name by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, the name of Yahweh. Ruth speaks a binding vow that God should judge her if she doesn't keep her promise. Ruth is making a covenant promise to Naomi and to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So in the midst of Naomi's family tragedy, we see new faith emerging in Ruth's loving loyalty. This young Moabite woman is binding herself to the true God. In so doing, Ruth is going to gain a significant place in God's big redemption plan. She, of course, doesn't know it in that moment. But she's going to gain a name check in the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Naomi realizes that Ruth is determined, and so they journey on together until they reach the hometown of Bethlehem. As we come to the close of chapter 1, we see Ruth's binding of herself to the Lord in stark contrast to Naomi's bitter emptiness. And this is our final section for today. Naomi's empty bitterness towards the Lord. Picture the scene as they enter Bethlehem. The whole town is stirred up. Here is Naomi, who went away to Moab all those years ago. Try to picture it in your mind. Imagine the town square. She's back again. But can this really be Naomi? Older, thinner, no husband, no sons, worn out in the emptiness that God has brought upon her. Eyes widen and there are deep intakes of breath. Can this be Naomi? The women exclaim. She hears her name ring out in her old town. It must have been a moment of enormous shame for her. And Naomi's heart is revealed in her response to her old community. Verse 20. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. As you'll know, many names have a meaning. My name Francis means free. The name Karen means pure. The name Reginald means king. In the same way, the name Naomi means pleasant, but the name Mara means bitter. Don't call me pleasant, but call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me pleasant? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Her own name mocks her. It has become at this point in her life an ironic lie. As Naomi returns to her hometown, do you see that a surprising swap is happening? Naomi is the Israelite insider, a member of God's chosen covenant people. But she is bitter, empty, and faithless. Ruth, on the other hand, is the Moabite outsider, a foreigner to God's community. But she has made a personal covenant with Naomi, with the Lord, and with the people of Bethlehem. Faith is emerging in her. The outsider to God's promises is putting her faith in God and becoming an insider. And with this, we note that the book is named after Ruth as the main character. It could have been called the Book of Naomi, or it could have been named after one of the key male figures who appear later on, the Book of Boaz, or the Book of Obed. They both get name checks in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. But no, it's called the Book of Ruth. And in this, it is a celebration of the outsider coming into God's big story of salvation. This means that for any of us who didn't grow up with Christian parents, who didn't grow up in the church, who didn't grow up with the gospel, but have then come to faith in Jesus Christ, it means that we are like Ruth, outsiders who become insiders. The rest of this short book is about how Naomi and Ruth's story turns from a tragedy into a tale of redemption and legacy. Their lives are going to be woven into the history of the kings of Israel. And this is a story that continues through to King Jesus, and therefore right through to us in this moment now. Jesus is the King of All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. When we call him Christ, we declare him to be our ruler. So we can see a line going back all the way from us at All Saints Church to Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. Then going back further to King David, 3,000 years. And then just a little bit further to his great-grandmother Ruth and her binding of herself to the God of Israel, Isaac, and Abraham. As we come to finish, let me wrap up with a summary and then we'll pray. We've seen today that the book of Ruth gives Bethlehem's backstory. The book begins as a family tragedy. But in the midst of Naomi and Ruth's bereavement, we see a surprising reversal taking place. Loyalty to Naomi and faith in the Lord are emerging in Ruth, the outsider, while Naomi, the Israelite insider, is empty and bitter towards the Lord. How will the story develop? Well, let me finish with the final verse of chapter 1. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Let's pray now in response to God's word. We recognize that like Naomi and Ruth, we are in a time of emptiness for many in this particular moment under COVID. Let's bring our present experiences of emptiness before God now. So a moment of quiet for you to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this story to teach us, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness. We come before you during this time of plague, and we bring our own emptiness before you, whatever that may be at this time. We seek you for life and fullness. We ask that you strengthen and sustain us at this time. And we look to you for joy in the midst of our difficulties. And we thank you for the example of Ruth's outsider faith in you. We thank you that in the same way today, outsiders can become insiders in your kingdom and your church. We thank you that you've called many of us into the family of your people. Thank you for Naomi and Ruth's descendant, the mighty King Jesus, who is our King. And following on from last week's covenant renewal, we bind ourselves to him afresh in this moment. We declare, you are my God, and your people are my people. Please help us to remain faithful to you during this COVID time of sickness, restriction, and loneliness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to God's word in worship, declaring the Lord to be our safety and our hope. The Lord is my salvation. The Old Testament Book of Ruth, Chapter 1.
The grace of God has reached for me, and pulled me from a raging sea, and I am safe. On this solid ground, the Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll
We now come to a time when we all say the creed together. So I ask you, if you're standing, or sitting, should I say, at home, if you would stand and join with me as I lead in affirming our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I now invite Mary to come up and lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray. I open with these words of Ruth. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my God, people, and your God, my God. We give you thanks, our gracious God, for this wonderful story of mercy on Naomi, whose despair at the loss of all she once held dear was made all the more unbearable by believing the Lord's hand has turned against me. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. The Almighty has made my life very bitter. But as the psalmist writes in Psalm 103, you, O Lord, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. You will not always chide, nor will you keep your anger forever. You do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For you know how we are formed. You remember that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So we pray to you, O Lord, the King of our church, of every church, over every power and authority, for you are our refuge and stronghold, and your mercy and compassion never fail. We pray for the health and the well-being of our nation, for those who are guiding our nation at this time and shaping national policies. Grant that they may make wise decisions. For those who are affected by coronavirus through illness or isolation or anxiety, grant that they may find relief and recovery. A prayer for the hospital staff and the medical researchers. Gracious God, we pray for all who are caring for the sick. Grant your wisdom to those who search for a cure. Strengthen them with your spirit, that through their skill and insights, many will be restored to health. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We lift to you, Lord, the vulnerable, the fearful, those who are ill and dying. Grant that they may know your comfort and the peace that passes all understanding, that fills the emptiness. And help us to be alert to the needs of those isolated and housebound, to care for them in their vulnerability. We pray for schools and young people, for all who devote themselves to teaching them, often at cost of their own safety. And we ask your blessing on our local community, that our neighborhoods may be places of trust and friendship, where all are known and cared for. Lord, we pray for the church, for our bishops and archbishops, that they may lead with courage and boldness to proclaim the gospel of salvation and hope, and be witnesses both by their word and their examples of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, who breathes new life into our being and grows us in the likeness of your Son. We pray especially for our new bishop, Gully, taking on the episcopacy at a time of great difficulty for our diocese. We ask you to fill her with your grace and a love of your word, that she may encourage and strengthen the churches in the unity of the Spirit. For Jesus' sake, amen. We pray, Lord, for those coping with floods and the cold, the snow, who are maybe stuck and without electricity or isolated. Father of all compassion, you hear the cries of those who are in trouble or distress. Hear our prayers for those whose lives are affected by storms and flooding. Strengthen them in their hour of need, and grant them perseverance and courage to face the future and to trust that life will return to normal by your grace and mercy. We hold before you those who are homeless and cold. Comfort them, Lord, and bless those who work to provide them with shelter, food, and friendship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for Francis and Georgina and their work amongst us. We pray your protection, especially for Francis at this time, that he might make a rapid recovery to full health. And in a moment of quiet, we lift those who we know are in need of your healing touch, who maybe like Naomi are worn out by the emptiness of life. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us to love our neighbor and to care for those in need as if we were caring for you. In this time of anxiety, give us strength to comfort the fearful, to tend the sick, and to assure the isolated of our love and your love, for your name's sake. Amen. Would you join with me in saying the collect prayer, which is printed on your service sheet? So together. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
I now invite you to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I now hope and anticipate that we're going to hear from Francis about family news.
As we come to the end of the service, some items of church family news. I look forward to seeing many of you for our regular Zoom virtual coffee at 11:30 a.m. This will give us time to connect with individuals in breakout rooms, and then all together we'll discuss Ruth chapter 1. It runs for an hour and will finish at 12:30. The All Saints Club will be meeting online this afternoon, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11 year olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15 year olds. Next Sunday we'll study chapter 2 of the book of Ruth with the title Seeking. If you'd like to go deeper with this part of God's Word, I'm recommending the study book Ruth, Poverty and Plenty, and there are details on page 5 of today's notice sheet if you'd like to order that from the Good Book Company. I mentioned in my sermon as well that you're welcome to join a growth group for the Ruth series. Please contact the church office on Tuesday if you're interested. This Wednesday morning, the care team are starting a new midweek coffee break on Zoom from 11:30 a.m. This is a chance to check in with friends and to encourage one another. And the plan for it is for it to be just 40 minutes once a week. Leslie Sullen will be hosting the first one, and the Zoom link was sent to the church family email list with the notice sheet. During February and March, on Thursday nights, we're going to run an 8-session Bible course. The course aims to give a big story overview of the Bible. And we've just been thinking, haven't we, about how the book of Ruth fits into that big story. Whether you know your Bible well, or you're new to the Bible, the course gives a helpful overview of the world's best-selling book. Shona and Danilo Frugio will be leading the course. Details of how to find out more and how to sign up are in today's notice sheet. The course is free to join, but the workbook costs a few pounds to order. On the same night, repeated on Saturday the 6th, Oak Hill College invites us to join an equip event on dealing with depression. Depression is a big issue in British society, but even more so in the current lockdown. The event will look at how the Bible addresses the issue and how it connects with sufferers at their point of greatest need and for those who care for them. So this will be helpful for you if you're struggling with depression yourself or if you want to help others who are experiencing depression. Tickets cost £5 and details of registration can be found through the link in the notice sheet. Our joint Christianity Explored course with St. Peter's Colchester made a good start on Thursday, and there's still opportunity to join in from week 2. Details are in the notice sheet. Georgina and I are looking forward to the 421 Youth Group Games Night, which will be running this Friday on Zoom. And for those of you who are serving in the All Saints Club or will be involved in 421 in the coming months, please consider joining in on the Equip Conference for Youth and Kids Workers. It's online on Saturday morning, 6th of Feb. We need to know how many people will attend so that we can book places. Full details are on the back of today's notice sheet. And finally, Dorcas Olujimoka has turned 6 this weekend. Her birthday was yesterday. Congratulations to the Olujimoka family. And we hope, Dorcas, that you have a very happy birthday weekend.
Thank you. We've now right at the end of our service, and let me conclude by saying the blessing. and I invite you to join with me in this. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.